Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of 2 Peter and will be continuing today with part 2 of The Sure Word of Prophecy. So let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
There were no doubt some, as we'll see later as we go in the epistle, who were saying all of that stuff about a second coming, that's nonsense. Oh, the apostles, these guys, Peter and John and Paul and them, they just made this up. This is something that they have just, you know, developed to keep the thing going for their own benefit. Peter says, no, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. I was there, I saw the Lord in his glory, and he's coming again. You know, we live in a situation and have for many, many years where life is fairly easy for us as Christians. We haven't suffered a whole lot for our faith. We haven't really experienced any significant persecution. But yet, throughout the rest of the world, since the time of the apostles, Christians have suffered severely. They've lived under the same kind of things that the first century believers lived under. A tremendous amount of suffering, great persecution. And we get excited about the message of the second coming, but boy, how much more exciting are those living under those circumstances? Or how much more excited would they be at the anticipation of the government being upon his shoulders, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace coming and ruling and reigning over them instead of these oppressive regimes. The second coming of Jesus is a glorious, glorious doctrine for all of us. And we're excited about it. But I think because we live in an affluent situation, because we live in a fairly comfortable situation, it's easy for us to just sort of become a bit lethargic about that. And, you know, we get excited a little bit for a little while, and then we sort of lose the excitement. It dies down, and you know, we're not as thrilled about the prospect. We're not living with that same kind of excitement and anticipation. Read an article today about some of the things that are going on in our schools here. They're putting on these seminars on diversity, and they're wanting to introduce the students to the virtues of homosexuality, the virtues of Marxism, the virtues of pro-choice, and, you know, of course, at the same time, talk about the evil of capitalism and the evil of evangelicalism and the evil of people who think that you shouldn't have a right to do what you want to do with your body and all of this sort of stuff. And we just see the wickedness abounding in our culture. All of this ought to get us to be crying out, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord, come back, establish your kingdom, set up your reign, and Lord, in the meantime, pour your spirit on us so we can do something about this. Jesus is coming again. Peter said, I was an eyewitness. And he wrote to encourage those who were in difficulty with the fact that Jesus is coming again. And so he says, I was an eyewitness. And then he says, and so we have also the prophetic word confirmed. So Peter puts forth his own experience as an apostle, as one who was with Jesus, as one who beheld his glory on a number of occasions, but particularly there on the Mount of Transfiguration. But now he also points to the scriptures, the prophetic word. And that's what we have to base our belief on. Not some cunningly devised fable, but the prophetic word. God said in his word that these things would happen. And they have happened just as he said that they would. All the things that pertain to the first coming of Christ have been accomplished. And we can be certain that the things, the promises that have to do with the second coming of Jesus are going to likewise be accomplished. And so he points them to the prophetic word here. The sure word of prophecy. The more sure word of prophecy. It is said that in his first coming, Jesus fulfilled 332 prophecies. 61 of those were major prophecies. The others are, you would call them minor because they're some way related to the major. But 61 major prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ in his first coming. 332 total. Now there are more prophecies concerning the second coming of Jesus than there are concerning the first coming of Jesus. And as you look at the fulfilled prophecy concerning the first coming of Jesus, that is to give us hope and faith and strength and confidence that just as certainly as God fulfilled his word the first time around, he's going to fulfill it the second time. Now, 61 major prophecies were fulfilled. Perhaps you've heard the stories about the research that was done, the experiments that were performed some years ago at Pasadena City College with Peter Stoner. Peter Stoner wrote a book called Science Speaks, and in it he talked about getting together approximately 600 students and performing an experiment where they took the laws of probability science and they basically asked the question, what would be the probability that someone could come along in history and fulfill prophecy without it actually being prophecy, the inspired word of God, or without that person being the person that was spoken of? And so they took the prophecies of the first coming of Jesus, and initially they took 8 prophecies, and they asked the question, what would be the probability that someone could come along in history and just randomly, just, you know, on a fluke, fulfill 8 prophecies? And what they decided is that to fulfill just 8 prophecies, it would be 1 chance in 10 to the 17th power. Take the letter 1 and put 17 zeros on the end of it. 1 chance in that number that someone could come along and fulfill just 8 prophecies and not be the person that was prophesied. Or that those who prophesied it, just this was just something they just made up themselves without any inspiration from God. Now, in order to illustrate what this number would be like, Peter Stoner said you could take and cover the state of Texas in silver dollars 2 feet deep. You mark one of those silver dollars. You take a big mixer and mix up the silver dollars. You take a guy, you blindfold him, and then you send him out across the state of Texas. He can go as far as he wants. But the chance that he could, on his first attempt, bend over and pick up that one marked silver dollar is the same chance that someone could come along and not be the person written about and fulfill those 8 prophecies. Now, you know, that pretty much does it for me. But there are people who are a little more hard-headed. So the class took and they doubled the number of prophecies to 16. And that brings it to 1 in 10 to the 45th power. 45 zeros. Now, to illustrate that number, Peter Stoner said that you would have to, first of all, begin with the earth itself, the entire earth itself being made up of silver dollars. From the core to the crust. Okay, that's nothing. Listen. But you would have to keep adding silver dollars until the earth went out 30 times the distance of the sun. 30 times the distance of the sun. Now, just to give you an example of the distance we're talking about. Back when they signed the Declaration of Independence, 1776, if a train traveling 60 miles an hour would have left Philadelphia back on that day and headed toward the sun, going constantly at that speed, it would have just about now been arriving at the sun. But we're going out 30 times the distance of the sun with this ball of silver dollars. So we're going to get the biggest mixer you can imagine, and we're going to mix these silver dollars up, out 30 times the distance of the sun, going in every direction. And one of those silver dollars is going to be marked, and you're going to have that same blindfolded guy. You're going to send him out in whatever direction he chooses, and the chance that on his first try, he bends over and he picks up that marked silver dollar, that is the same chance that someone could have come along and fulfilled just 16 prophecies and not been the one that was prophesied. So you see what it shows you both ways. It shows you that the one who fulfilled them had to be the one who was written about, and it shows that the ones who wrote the prophecies had to be inspired by God. It couldn't have been something that was just a fluke. Well, it could have been. 1 in 10 to the 45th power. But then they actually took it a bit further. They went up to 48 prophecies. And with 48 prophecies, the probability is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. These are astronomical numbers here. We can't even begin to compute this. But Peter Stoner goes on and he says, okay, first of all, we've got a problem. The silver dollar is too big now at this point. There's nowhere to put them. So we need something smaller. So he suggests that we use an electron. Now, an electron is so small that to count a one-inch single-file line of electrons, counting at the rate of 250 per minute, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would take you 19 million years to count that number of electrons on a one-inch line. Okay, so we've got the electron. Now, we're talking about 10 to the 157th power electrons. That would necessitate over a million of our universes to house that number of electrons. Now, you've got to mark one of these electrons, but you've got a big problem. They're microscopic. You can't see them with the human eye. But somehow you've got to track one down and you've got to mark it. And then you've got to send out this blindfolded fellow into this number of electrons, filling a million of our universes. And the chance that someone could find that marked electron is the same chance that the Bible could be wrong and Jesus Christ would not be the Son of God. So, you'd have to be the world's biggest fool to bet against those odds. We have the more sure word of prophecy. And as I said, if the Lord fulfilled in detail the prophecies concerning the first coming of the Messiah, which he certainly did, then you would have to be an absolute fool to think that he's not going to fulfill the prophecies concerning the second. He's going to do it. We have the prophetic word. God has told us in his word, as surely as I live, says the Lord, all the earth will be filled with my glory. Oh, we need the Lord to come back. As we look at our world, as we look at the sin and the rebellion against God, our hearts cry out, Lord Jesus, come quickly. He's going to come. And so even though people will mock and scoff, and we'll get to that later, Peter actually will address that very issue. People mocking, people scoffing, people saying, oh, they've been saying Jesus is coming back for a long time. Well, yes, they have. Because that's what the scripture says. But all around us today, we see evidence that the time is approaching and that prophecy is being fulfilled. It's in the process of being fulfilled. Prophecy that pertains to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we've talked about this before, and you've heard it from Pastor Chuck. You've heard it from everybody you listen to on K-Wave. You've heard it from all of the different pastors and teachers. But we need to be reminded of it again, because the Lord is coming back. And from all indicators, He's coming back soon. The sooner the better. And what that says to me is, boy, I want to be busy serving the Lord. I want to be taken up with the things of the kingdom. Because when He returns, this world and its kingdoms are going to vanish. It's going to be over. So I don't want to be focusing on this place. It's going to be gone. I want to be focusing on the kingdom to come. The kingdom that has come now, it's available to me in my own heart and in my own life personally. But it's going to come. And as the Lord said, I'm going to fill the earth with my glory. You can bet on it. You can bank on it. You can count on it. And only a fool would challenge the reality of it. And so Peter, listen to what he says here. He says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, or we have the prophetic word made more sure. He says, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And I think there's a twofold application here. For Christians who are weary, for Christians who are discouraged, for Christians who are wondering, is it ever going to happen? Peter says, get back into the prophetic word. Let prophecy speak to you. Look at what God did in the first coming of Jesus and realize that there are more prophecies about His second coming, and as certainly as He fulfilled the first coming prophecies, He's going to fulfill the second coming prophecies. But there's also a word to those who aren't following Christ, and that is that you need to let these facts, this reality, alter your thinking process, change your direction in life. You need to let this influence you to the extent that, as he says here, the morning star rises in your heart. You know, God has given us the prophetic word to confirm the truth of the scripture so that we will believe and yield our lives to him. And prophecy is a wonderful tool for us who are believers to use in speaking to those who don't yet know the Lord. And it is a tool that God will often use to bring a person to their senses to realize that, man, what the Bible says is true. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. But he's coming back to judge the world. That's what he's coming back for. In Isaiah chapter 13, we have their description of the Lord coming in judgment. He is coming to judge the world. He's coming to destroy the sinners on the planet. And he says he's going to make a mortal man more rare than fine gold. And this rebellious attitude of mankind is going to be recompensed with the judgment of God. And all of those who are living in rebellion to God are going to fall under that wrath. And if that's where you're at, then I encourage you to take heed as to a light shining in a dark place to the prophetic word. Yet as we look around us, all of the signs that Jesus said, that the apostles said would be occurring, signs that would lead up to his coming again, Boy, they're happening. You don't even have to read your Bible. You just read the newspaper. They're happening. All this stuff in Israel that keeps going on and on and on. What is this leading to? Well, the scripture says it's leading to a day when Israel will finally be broken and they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But what are the Jews doing back in the land? Why are they over there causing all this trouble anyway? Why can't we just resolve this? Why is it an ongoing thing? Because the scripture said it would be. That's why there's no solution to the problem. That's why every president that's ever attempted to resolve the conflict fails, and everyone in the future will continue to fail. And Israel itself is a blazing prophetic message. The existence of the Jewish people in their ancient homeland, that's a message from God to the world that says, open your Bible. Look at what's going on. It's all headed just in the same direction that God said it would be headed in. And so we've got Israel as a powerful witness to the second coming of Christ. We've got the developments in Europe as a powerful witness, for that was also prophesied by Daniel. We've got the situation with the Islamic nations and the connection with the former Soviet Union. Ezekiel's prophecies there. We've got the emphasis on globalization. It's all there in Revelation chapter 13. The emphasis on a one world order. The emphasis on a one world economy. A one world leader. The technological advances. It's all there in the book of Revelation. And so Peter says, if you're still in the dark, if you're still in sin, if you're still living for yourself and not for the Lord Jesus Christ, take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. He's describing here a beautiful picture of Christ ruling in a person's life. The morning star rising in your heart, him being your Lord. We do not follow cunningly devised fables. When we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus, Peter said, but we were eyewitnesses, and not only were we eyewitnesses, but we have prophecy that confirms to us that everything that God said, everything we thought was from him was indeed from him. Everyone we considered a prophet, they were indeed prophets because it's happened right before our eyes. And you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the question arose, how do we know if a prophet is really a prophet? God said, this is how you'll know. If they prophesy and it comes to pass, then they're really a prophet. And so, the prophecies in this book, can there be any dispute that this is God's book? Not for any thinking person. This is God's book and everything it says is true. It's been partially fulfilled. It will be completely fulfilled. And hopefully, the complete fulfillment will come in the not too distant future. But yet all of us have loved ones, all of us have friends, all of us have things we want to see God do. Well, let's not wait. Let's not lay back in our comfort zone. Let's be busy about our Father's business. So when Jesus comes and sets up the kingdom, we just keep on doing what we're doing, going right on in and serving him there forever. Lord, we thank you for the prophetic word. We thank you, Lord, for that sure word of prophecy. And Lord, that we can take this Bible and we can hold it today and know that we've got in our very hands the words of Almighty God. We've got the truth. And Lord, you've confirmed it over and over again through prophecy. We thank you, Lord, for that built-in evidence of the inspiration of your word. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be encouraged. We pray we'd be exhorted. Pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be caught sleeping. But, Lord, as we look around us, that we would recognize that your coming again is soon and we would be conducting ourselves accordingly. Pray that they would heed the words of your book. That they would yield themselves to you, Lord, that the morning star would rise in their hearts and they'd begin to live in the light. You're going to come and call them to give an account of their lives. Help, Lord, us to be ready for that day by trusting in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Peter in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of the Holy Scriptures. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Sure Word of Prophecy. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3056. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.